back to the Make With Coffee and Reason podcast. Join us in sipping on the lessons learned and rising stronger from every adversity. Our podcast is your reminder that in the simplicity of reasoned conversations, we find the strength to face life's complexities. So let's share stories, extract wisdom, and together we will navigate the journey one sip at a time. This is episode 2 in the adversity series of the podcast. I'm your host, Nurse Douglas Atkinson, and with us we have your co-hosts, Takis Nelson and Zavonna James. Now, as we embark on this caffeinated journey of dialogue and discovery, let's center ourselves with our podcast mantra, brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. Today we have with us an entrepreneur and customer representative, Mrs. Tanisha Nelson Mills, and she will be sipping with us and sharing her intriguing story of self-love and self-awareness. Mrs. Nelson Mills, welcome to the podcast and thank you for joining us.
Thank you again for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to share how I overcame all my adversities as it relates to self-love and self-awareness.
Great, and we're excited to have you. And as you know, our main purpose on this platform is to help adolescents navigate adversity. Now, you shared with us that you'd like everyone to know that no mistakes were made while we were being crafted by Christ Jesus. Would you like to tell us a little more about that?
All right, so I can say that yesterday when I was answering that question, as it relates to what else I would like to share, it was the first thing that came to mind because I remember growing up as a teenager, I probably weighed about 120, maybe 110, 120 from the age, if I'm correct, maybe 15 to 17, because I remember the last time. In that time that I took a measurement and a weighed to enroll into a community college, and I weighed 135. And I was very aware of that because I was always told that I'm going to be big and I'm a giant and I'm, you know, I'm going to look this particular way. And I was never comfortable in my own skin. And because there were other issues, like physical issues that was going on at that time. Mm-hmm. And when you look around and you see other people, they don't look like you, but you're so aware of it because you stand out because of these physical issues that you're having. So being told that I was going to be a particular way and being told that I looked a particular way, I was very much aware. And I didn't love the way that I looked. And I struggled with that for many years because I was told and I believed it. And then when I came to realize that when God was, you know, making me and when he was making you, he made no mistakes because this is exactly how I was supposed to be. He cannot make mistakes. So learning that taught me to accept who God made me to be and to teach myself and to actually believe this affirmation that I am enough just as God has created me to be.
And that is so true. So are you saying that for majority of your life or teenage years, that is, you were conscious, self-conscious about your weight and how you looked physically?
I was, and I love to share this story because, you know me, and I can be sometimes, but the thing is, I'm not ashamed to speak on things that I was insecure about. So growing up, and I like to point this out, I was very bright, but me did full of sore. Listen. I was very bright, but I had a lot of sores on my legs, right? And I remember, you know, just being so conscious about those things because they were always pointed out to me. So, for example, each time that I made it to the honor roll, which was very often, we had to take pictures to put it in the lobby area of the school. And I remember one particular time I had to take an honor roll picture and I did not want to take it because I did not have a socks that was long enough to cover those scars. And if I was going to school, I wanted to make sure that I have the socks to hide all of those scars. But one thing, when I was walking into class, I was confident. I was one of the brightest. So even though I had those scars, I was confident about the fact that I am one of the brightest. So, you know, looking back at all of those, you know, things, people would point them out to me. And because of that, it's like what you're capable of, in some ways, you're restricted because of that awareness and that lack of confidence. Because you can be confident, you know, internally, but you have to be able to also exhibit that external.
On exactly. The outward appearance.
Exactly. And I did not always have that. So I have to point that out. I did not always have that.
So are you trying to tell us that the main focus of your conversation today is about your self-love that you have developed over the past few years, and the fact that the self-love came from self-awareness?
Not only that it came from self-awareness, it came from learning that, you know, there's a greater purpose in life than outward appearance. I was very bright. I've always been very bright. I've always been aware of, you know, my surroundings and life. And I've always, you know, had a thought process in a mature way. So I knew how to navigate myself through life cautiously, but I wasn't always confident. So it's like, you know, to put my best foot forward or to say, okay, I'm going to try this, it's because of the things that were pointed out. So my self-esteem is just started with the things that were pointed out to me. I didn't learn to appreciate or to understand. Yes, my mother used to tell me that I was very pretty, and I was told that I was pretty, and I believed it. I knew that, you know, but I don't know. It's like sometimes if you hear that you're pretty, you're pretty, you're pretty, and then someone comes along and they say, oh, your nose too big, it will stick. You know, the fact that someone says their nose is too big, it will stick. And that can affect you in so many areas of life. As simple as it may sound, it will want you to not be who you are. You know, somebody who's genuine and smart and there has a lot to give, you know, so that's where it started for me. It's like my confidence went down, you know, and it's like, no, I'm trying to be somebody that I'm not, or I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about the different difficulties that you faced where this is concerned, and how you actually came above it, or if you did in your teenage years.
Well, I can say this. It was good and it was bad. And I'm going to say the reason why it was good, that I did not have a lot of self-esteem, and a lot of person wouldn't know that I did not, because for some reason I wear my strength on my shoulders, and I don't know how I do it, but I can. It was good because it kept me in check. You know, if some of us look like an aloe berry, if some of us looked like an aloe berry, we would be very promiscuous. So because I was so conscious about the things that people didn't like about me.
Oh, okay.
It's not really that I didn't like these things about myself. It was because I was conscious about the things that people didn't like about me. It kept me in check. So I wasn't confident enough to be promiscuous as I would have maybe. So that would have been the good thing about it. And then the bad thing about it is that I was seeking validation. So if you're in a relationship, and I'm going to have to use myself because I am speaking about myself, my past, and on my present. So if I'm in a relationship, or when I was in a relationship, I was always questioning, maybe I'm not pretty enough. Maybe I don't look like that other person. So I will never be enough. So I have to do more, you know, than what is needed of me, not knowing. So I say in some ways it humbles you, and in other ways it can really break you, you know?
So around what age did you struggle with self-love, well, loving yourself and being so aware of all the flaws that others pointed out in you?
like I said, when I was in primary, I was always on honor roll. So it would definitely be maybe from the grade, maybe from grade three, grade four, thereabouts, straight up until after I left high school.
That's more than 7 years.
Mm-hmm, it's a long time. It is a long time. And even when I was a young adult, I still struggled because, again, I was speaking on a relationship that I was in. Mm-hmm. And the person was not faithful. And I thought that it was because of the way that I looked. You understand? So it's like you're always seeking validation. So you're putting on this image to... All right, say for example, so no, I don't do cosmetics, like cosmetic hair and jewelry and makeup anymore. Mm-hmm. And I would wear all of those stuff because I felt like if I wore them, then I would look better. And looking better makes me feel better.
Okay.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I knew it wasn't me and it wasn't what I wanted, but because I needed to be accepted, you know, and I wanted to look like the other person. Because, for example, if you're watching a movie and you see Halle Berry, I have to use her name again, you see Halle Berry, and Halle Berry has a small waist and the flat belly and all that stuff, you're going to want to look like her because,
the societal standard of beauty.
Exactly. Exactly so.
So if you had gone through this at such a young age and it lasted for such a long time, do you think that other adolescents have faced such difficulties as well? And have you seen it?
Absolutely. I'm going to use my daughter, for example. She's not a teen as yet, but in my eyes, she's the most beautiful girl ever. And others may not agree, and that's okay. I said in my eyes. And because I know that she's a little bit more on the chunky side, I always reassure to let her know that you're beautiful, because I know that I've been there when other persons may come around and they say, Lady, I get fat, you're fat, and your face fat, and you know, and people don't understand. And because I've been there, I can speak on it. People don't understand that the words that you use or the words you choose can deeply impact a child. Even though you think that they're young and they don't understand, it can greatly impact a child. If you tell someone that you're too big, they're going to believe it, even if you only do it once. I think that sometimes you need to focus on a better approach in maybe complimenting someone or saying that I haven't seen you in a long time and you look so different. But I've seen it. And I remember one time a parent reached out to me and she said, I was speaking on it and she said to me, this is so true, because my child who just started high school stopped eating. And this was because people were telling him that he was getting so big. And she did not know that this was the reason why he was not eating. So it's like you're seeing it happening to someone else and you know what it did to you and you know how great the impact was. So you're trying to, you know, reaffirm this person to let them know that, listen, God made no mistakes when he was making you. And I often say this and I have to say it again. If we were all supposed to be tall, supposed to be short, supposed to be fat, lean, skinny, masculine, whatever it is that we were all supposed to be that one way, then there will be no balance in this world. That's just my opinion. God created us in such a way that we were supposed to be a certain way. Some of us are going to be short, some of us are going to be tall, some of us are going to be fair, because some of us might get more sunshine, more melanin and all of those stuff. So in order for the world to be balanced and to orbit the sun as it is, we had to be that way. And that's just my take on it.
There had to be a balance, of course, most definitely. So given that you struggled with it for such a long period of time, when did you actually come to the realization that, okay, I have my flaws, my flaws are a part of me, and maybe it's just not going to go away, and I have to love this, apart from the fact that others may not like it, you know, something that I need to get rid of, but this is me, I'm accepting me. At what point in time or which age did you come to the realization that it's okay?
All right, so I'm 30, and I would say that I came to that realization probably about almost 4 or 5 years ago. And it wasn't because I found love. It wasn't because I read a book, I just became closer to God. And I kept holding on to the fact that He created everything beautiful. I am a part of everything. And if He makes no mistakes, then there was no mistake when He was making me.
We're all created in the likeness of God.
And if I can't change something, if I cannot change something, it is not affecting the morals of life. It is not affecting the morals of God. Then nothing is wrong with it. If I can live with something and it's not affecting the moral of life and it's not affecting the morals of God, then nothing is wrong with it. If it's not making me physically ill, if it's not restricting me from going and coming, then there is nothing wrong with it. And I had to just stop, look at myself, love every single thing that God made about me, and realize that I am more than just what the eyes may see. Because if you allow yourself to know me and to listen to what I have to say, not that I always have something sensible to say, but I'm just saying, if you allow yourself to listen to what I have to say and understand how my mind operates and understand the sincerity of my heart, then you will love me, and then you will not just see what is outside, but you will understand and grasp what is also inside. Because, and I'm going to say this again, I remember one time meeting this lady for the first time. She was a girlfriend of an uncle. Physically to the eyes, but then she was ugly. And no, I don't call anyone ugly, because God made no one ugly. No matter if your nose big or your eye cast or something people think is wrong, God did not make anyone ugly, right? You cannot look like somebody else because God made just one you. So physically to the eye, back then, because of ignorance, I thought that she was ugly. But then I got to know her, and she had such a nurturing spirit, because at that time I was a teenager. She had such a nurturing spirit, and it's like her name was Lovey. And every single time I saw this lady, she was just the most beautiful person I've ever laid my eyes on. And let me tell you, maybe someone else would have said she's ugly, but when I saw her, I didn't see physical features. I saw a mother, I saw someone that was nurturing, I saw somebody that was loving, and somebody that was kind. So if sometimes people would just take the time out to listen to your mindset, understand your mindset and the sincerity of your heart, then they wouldn't just see, you know, a physical description of somebody and think that, oh, you know, match up to the table. You know, and that's why I'm saying that what you have to offer in this life has to be more than how you look. You have to love yourself. You have to appreciate yourself and know that you are enough just as God has created you.
And that is true. That is actually the representation of individuals on a whole. You may say that you have the outward appearance of beauty, but what does your character say about you? What does how you treat others say about you? What does how you treat yourself say about you, right? Because you can also tell how someone loves themselves based on how they speak about themselves. The outward beauty, it's only a fraction of who you are. So you have given us your story of how Christ has helped you to find joy in yourself, has helped you to redefine beauty. He has also helped you to see that I did not make any mistake, as you have rightfully said. We were handcrafted by Jesus Christ. And that is a beautiful story. So as we turn down the lights, no, I want to ask you three more questions. Let's say that you were speaking to your adolescent self right now, you know, looking into the eyes of someone who thinks that they are not beautiful because someone else said so, who thinks that who they are, the definition of beauty is defined by someone else. What would you say to yourself, and what are some practical steps that you would give your childhood self now to overcome the thought that I'm not enough?
One, I would definitely do acts of services to my childhood self. I would have been bold and confident to try and do the things that I want to do that are within the morals of God. And then I will also speak affirmations over myself. I would reassure myself that I'm beautiful and that I am loved and that I am enough and that I'm special and there is no one like me. You know, because if I, like, a lot of who I am now, I've always been that, but it wasn't unlocked, you know, and that's why I can confidently speak the way I speak now. So I definitely do things for myself, and I would do things that I want to do that are within the moral of God. And, you know, I would have tried things, you know, and I would have gone places.
You'd have stepped out of that little box that society placed you in.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout you telling us your story, you mentioned the fact that most of your experience came from the ideas that you thought other persons have of you. Now I'm asking, how can we, as human beings ourselves, how can we be more aware? Because you gave us a scenario where you said that we might think that a person is ugly, right? You also said that the choice of words that we have could greatly or significantly impact someone. So how do we ensure we raise awareness towards this issue?
Good question. All right, so this is what I do when I'm at work, because I have a friend. She has become a friend, and she's very beautiful, but she's struggling a lot with self-esteem. And she thinks that she's not beautiful because she has been told that. And becoming closer to her, every day I greet her because she's always late for work. So every day I greet her with, "Oh, Sonique, you're the most beautiful girl in the world." And she would smile. And so I remember one day we were going home and the sun hit her face because she's light in complexion and she has brown eyes. And I stopped in the middle of Spanish Town. And I said, "Sonique, just look a while when the light hit your face. Girl, you are so pretty." And she was baffled, bamboozled. Because guess what? No, she's understanding exactly who I am. Every single day I tell her how beautiful she is. Every day I tell her how she looks really nice. "Girl, I love your outfit. Oh my God, girl, you are so, oh, you smell so good." And that's how I am with my friends. And that's how I treat every single person. Even if I don't know you, even if I am not familiar with you, I stop and I compliment as much people that I want to and I choose to, because, you know, I'm not going to approach everybody. So I will compliment and I will speak the truth, because the truth is that we are all created beautifully. So I know I'm not telling any lies. You understand? So I bring this awareness to someone because maybe no one has told them that they're beautiful. And maybe no one has said, "You know, I like your smell," or, "You know, I like what you said the other day. That was so profound. And I took that advice," and something. Because sometimes you just don't know what you're doing for someone. So I practice that. Maybe they're not hearing it. And so many times I hear my friends say to me, "Why, Tanisha, every day you make me feel special. Why, Tanisha, every day you tell me same thing. Me listen to you, and I'm listen to you, but me I try." So now I understand that she's trying to accept it, because sometimes we just have to constantly do it so that they can believe it and they can understand it. And if you are at a place and you see somebody treating someone a particular way, they're saying something that is not nice, speak up about it, because I'm like that. If you say something about someone that is not nice, even if you think that it is the truth, I'm going to say, "That is not nice. Why would you say that openly?" Because you openly just said something that is not nice. And I hope that answered the question.
Yes, it did. It did. Thank you.
It was really refreshing, and it opened my eyes a bit more, because we don't have to know that we're doing something for us to know that we're supposed to be kind to others.
We are supposed to be. There's this rule that I have at work. I'm very close to two persons at work, and there's this rule that I have established from the get-go. We do not say things that are mean to each other. So we might have a disagreement, and jokingly, we will not say, "Me not like you. My friends say you're ugly." Like, wait, no. Mm-mm. No. Because it may seem like it's nothing to you or to me, but do you know how that person feels inside? And are they going to be open enough to say, you know, I'm never like when you say I'm ugly, because I guess probably this person is always hearing that they're ugly. Or say, for example, I wear a size 9 shoes. Lord, your foot biggie, man. No, we can't say that. We can't say that. So that's a rule that I've established among my friends. We're going to always be nice to each other. We're going to always be open, and we're always going to be honest with each other. So it's not that you can't be truthful and say to this person, you know, so the way you put on the makeup, then I look nice. That sounds nice and reasonable, don't it? No, you have to explain to the person why you don't think it nice. Because what if the person feel like say it nice, but you are going to tell them say it not nice? What if them confident in themselves about how them fix it, but you don't like it? Because I can't just change something about me because you don't like it. So among my friends, I say, son, I don't know how you fix that. It kind of make your face look broad. So now I tell you why I really like it and where it look on you. And then I go to say, but if you're okay with it, then that's it. Okay.
That is it. Okay, Mrs. Mills, so what encouraging words would you have for an adolescent that may be going through a similar situation right now?
Three words, and that will be, you are enough. That is it. Look at yourself and say, I am enough. And because it is the truth. It is the truth.
Profound. Most definitely profound. Now, our last question for you before we end this session. How does it feel to have overcome adversity? You know, it may not have been in your childhood years, but eventually you did. How does it feel?
To be honest, overcoming that particular adversity, it was a big turnaround. So it was a good feeling. Sometimes it can be a bit disappointing because I wish I knew then what I knew now, and I understood then what I understand now. But what I do to not live in the past and not to dwell on those feelings of disappointment and more so of being thankful is to share it with others. So it's not just for me, because knowledge is not powerful until you utilize it and until you share it with someone else.
I've never actually heard that, and strangely, it makes so much sense. No, I haven't. So thank you, Mrs. Nelson, for sharing such a beautiful story. Today we learned that sometimes it won't be a self-help book or someone that consistently encourages us, or even someone that tells us that we love us, even though those all contribute to it. But overcoming can also come from building an intimate relationship with God. And not many of us know that. So we want to thank you for sharing such a beautiful story. Where can our listeners find you?
Well, I'm not a frequent user of social media because I'm very busy, to be honest. But from time to time, I will pop in on Facebook and I will leave a message there. And I ever so often will always be on WhatsApp. That's the truth of it. But on Facebook, I am Tanisha Nelson. And ever so often, I'll try my best to leave something there. But not big on social media again, because I'm so busy. But, you know, I'm very vocal. So if you're on my WhatsApp, you'll see and you'll hear what I have to say.
So thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Meku Coffee and Reason. And if you like what you have heard thus far, please remember to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast channels on all platforms. Leave a comment under each episode to let us know how this episode impacted you. And feel free to send us a message on our Instagram page at Meku Coffee and Reason, or via email at schoolnursedouglas@gmail.com with the names and contacts of individuals you'd like to see next reasoning with us. Or if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in the Meku Reason series, Let us know just the same. So as we say hello to a brand new week, let's remember our podcast mantra. We are all brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. As the week goes on, allow the aroma of freshly brewed coffee to inspire authentic conversations. And may each episode leave you with a sense of connection, reflection, and a renewed appreciation for the simple joy of sharing thoughts over a cup of coffee. See you next Sunday on the Metal Coffee and Reason podcast.